The Fortress and the Casino by Ted G. Lewis, Professor of Computer Science, Naval Postgraduate School. Reader's note. Footnotes will be read at the end of the article. A wicked problem. Homeland Security is a wicked problem because it requires the defender to make difficult choices from among undesirable options. For example, a strategy of national isolation and strict societal controls will enhance security and repel terrorist attacks. But it also reduces individual freedoms and sacrifices personal privacy. On the other hand, a strategy that maintains a free and open society protects the rights of the individual, which has historically benefited society by generally improving the standard of living, reducing conflict, and assuring fairness to all citizens. But an open society is particularly vulnerable to attack because it respects the rights of the outlaw as well as the law-abiding citizen. This is the conundrum of the fortress and the casino. The fortress represents one extreme, societies that enjoy absolute safety. The casino represents an opposite extreme, totally open and free societies. By its very nature, the casino is highly vulnerable to nearly every kind of threat. The casino is where people take risks, and the fortress is where people feel safe. The choice between fortress and the casino poses a conundrum because both strategies have advantages and disadvantages in the context of homeland security. But neither strategy is a clear-cut winner. Does choosing one over the other solve or exacerbate the wicked problem of national security? This essay explores the conundrum and shows that the current debate over the fortress versus casino lacks a Nash equilibrium solution. Note 1. To achieve the benefits of the casino while avoiding the restrictions of the fortress, strategists must adopt a policy that leads to a Nash equilibrium point. Two possible solutions are proposed and compared. The fortress. The fortress is nearly impenetrable. A wall of steel and an anti-missile defense system with perfect aim enshrouds a self-sufficient agricultural community surrounding a major metropolitan city-state. Everything needed to sustain life can be found inside these walls, an entire ecosystem complete with transportation, energy and power, telecommunication, and adequate commerce to sustain the fortress indefinitely. By its very nature, the fortress can easily thwart any kind of attack. Its defenses are the best in the world, and its protected farms and gardens provide enough food to sustain the population during an indefinite siege, thus making it impossible to defeat the fortress through attrition. Drinking water is supplied by a system that collects and stores rainwater. The fortress produces all goods and services required by its inhabitants. Fortress security. While attackers cannot penetrate or surmount the wall nor wear down the fortress through siege, the fortress can send its army outside the walled city-state anytime, anywhere, to destroy an approaching army. Fortress defenders can optimize the use of their resources, electing to attack the attacker whenever it is maximally advantageous to the fortress. From the fortress dweller's point of view, the only necessary defense is a maximally efficient offense. Citizens of the fortress value absolute security above all else. To get it, they have made a number of concessions. Everyone must carry a smart card containing photo, finger, and voice print identification. The privacy of both citizens and visitors has been sacrificed for the sake of safety. A network of cameras and GPS tracking systems record the physical and financial movements of every person all the time. All telephone calls, email transmissions, and surface mail transactions are monitored for safety. All vital infrastructure systems such as water, power, electricity, and telecommunications networks are hardened to withstand direct attack, even though such attacks are highly unlikely in this highly controlled and watched fortress. As an added benefit of infallible infrastructure, services are efficient, inexpensive, and independent of the outside world. The zero-defect life within the fortress may restrict a person's individual freedom and sacrifice privacy, but no fortress dweller has ever been harmed by an attacker. However, one consequence of the fortress strategy is the negative impact strict regulation and surveillance has had on the economy. The fortress suffers from a slow economy because of the high cost of absolute security, lack of personal freedoms, and restricted access to markets outside of the fortress. The fortress economy is weak but secure. The casino. In stark contrast, the casino is completely open and penetrable. It is open to global commerce, open to the broadcast of ideas from around the world over its various communication networks, respects individual liberties, and economically rewards risk-taking. The casino dweller revels in the openness and individual freedoms guaranteed by casino society. As a consequence, the casino is a vital and wealthy community of productive citizens. But life in the casino is risky. There is no guarantee of economic success, well-being, or safety. Casino citizens revel in their risky lives as long as they can enjoy their freedoms. For them, life is a series of ups and downs. Sooner or later, everyone wins the lottery, and similarly, sooner or later, everyone suffers a misfortune. But the rewards are worth the risks. The casino is exciting, partly because it is vulnerable to all kinds of threats. Citizens of the casino are free to choose how they live and work, but there is no security net. Of course, they can purchase insurance to indemnify them against disastrous events such as bank failure, power outage, or personal health problem. Indeed, they can even buy an insurance policy that pays a handsome sum of money to their survivors should they die from a terrorist attack. Life in the casino is a roll of the dice. Casino society enjoys freedom of movement in an open society where risk is an acceptable part of life. The odds are that an average citizen will never experience a disaster because the probability of a disastrous event is so small as to be ignored. And yet, disastrous events occur every day. But casino dwellers accept these unfortunate events as routine misfortunes that happen to someone else. Casino security. Casino defenders play the odds just like everyone who lives and works in the casino. It is too expensive to protect everyone against all threats, so the casino defenders calculate risk and invest only in threats that pose the highest risk. Note 2. Disasters associated with low risk are either ignored or underfunded because eliminating all risk would be too costly. When it comes to Homeland Security, the casino strategy is to treat terrorist threats as yet another one of life's ups and downs. While casino defenders will engage the attacker whenever, wherever, and by whatever means devised by the attacker, the casino fundamentally employs a strategy of risk minimization. That is, the casino aims to minimize threats to daily life, regardless of whether threats are natural or man-made. The casino would never erect an impenetrable wall around the casino, nor sacrifice individual freedom to assure absolute safety. Freedom with acceptable risk is considered better than isolating the casino from the world. In summary, the fortress strategy provides absolute security but violates the freedom and privacy enjoyed by the casino. The citizens of the fortress need not worry about terrorism, but they must give up much of their own freedom to guarantee their security. The casino guarantees freedom and privacy but cannot provide its citizens absolute security. Indeed, the casino strategy treats terrorism much like any other disaster. Acts of terrorism occur with low probability and acceptable risk. What is the solution to this conundrum? What strategy might provide a solution that respects both goals of security and freedom? Two solutions are suggested by the following game theory analysis. Game theory. The fortress and casino represent strategies, extreme strategies, in a two-person game as compactly represented by the payoff matrix in Table 1. Reader's note, tables are shown in the print version of this article. The defender in Table 1 may select from two strategies, casino and fortress. Similarly, the attacker has two strategies, terrorism and diplomacy. The pair of numbers in the payoff matrix represents the payoff for each, defender payoff, attacker payoff, for all possible strategy pairs modeled by the matrix. The first row and first column of the matrix represents the payoff when the defender selects casino and the attacker selects terrorism as a strategy, respectively. The payoff for the defender is -1, because the attack is assumed to succeed when aimed at the casino. The payoff for the attacker is +1, because the attacker wins. Each pair of numbers represents the payoff for both defender and attacker as follows. Casino, terrorism, -1, +1. Equal the attack succeeds, attacker wins, and defender loses. Casino diplomacy, 0-0, equals diplomacy does not pay off for either defender or attacker. Fortress terrorism, -1-0, equals defender suffers loss of freedom and terrorist attack fails against the fortress. Fortress diplomacy, -1-0, equals defender suffers loss of freedom and terrorist attack fails. The payoff matrix of Table 1 contains a unique maximum payoff for each competitor. The best payoff possible for defender is casino diplomacy equaling 0-0. The best payoff for the attacker is casino terrorism equaling -1 +1. If the attacker chooses a strategy of terrorism, there is no best strategy for the defender. If the defender chooses fortress, there is no best strategy for the attacker. The game is solved by finding an entry in the table that simultaneously satisfies both competitors. This is possible only when both competitors can do no better than the strategy that maximizes the payoff to each competitor. In other words, the solution is a pair of strategies that maximize both attacker and defender payoffs. Such a solution, if it exists, is known as an equilibrium point, or if more than one exists, equilibria. Solutions to two-person games are called Nash equilibria, after the famous mathematician who proved that a stable solution to a two-person game like this is any and all pairs of strategies that simultaneously maximize the payoff for both competitors. Note 3. Table 1 has no equilibrium point because the best strategy for the defender depends on the strategy selected by the attacker, and vice versa. The best strategy for the attacker depends on the strategy selected by the defender. That is, there is no entry in the matrix that is simultaneously best for both attacker and defender. To see this, suppose the defender selects the casino strategy. Then the best strategy for the attacker is terrorism. Alternatively, if the defender selects the fortress strategy, then it does not matter which strategy the attacker selects. They both result in zero payoff. Similarly, if the attacker selects diplomacy, the best strategy for the defender is casino. But if the attacker selects terrorism, there is no single best strategy for the defender. Both strategies result in -1 payoff. What payoff yields a Nash equilibrium point and therefore a solution to the game? From the perspective of the defender, it is desirable that the casino diplomacy entry in Table 1 be maximal for both attacker and defender. This follows from the fact that the maximum payoff to the defender falls in the casino row of Table 1. How can the payoff matrix be changed to yield a Nash equilibrium at casino diplomacy? There are two answers to this question. First, if the attacker is rewarded for choosing diplomacy instead of terrorism, the diplomacy payoff for the attacker has to be greater than +1, because terrorism already yields a payoff of +2. This is shown in Table 2. The matrix of Table 2 has a Nash equilibrium at casino diplomacy, and hence is a solution to the conundrum. To see this, analyze the best payoff possibilities in the revised payoff matrix of Table 2. The payoff matrix contains a Nash equilibrium at casino diplomacy, because 0 is the maximum payoff possible for the defender, and +2 is the maximum payoff for the attacker, and they both occur in the same entry of the matrix. In other words, both defender and attacker cannot gain any more by switching strategies. Such a win-win strategy is stable because neither competitor can gain by switching to another strategy. A second possibility exists as shown in Table 3. This solution, called the retaliation scenario, is obtained by modifying the matrix of Table 1 as follows. Each terrorist attack is punished by a retaliation that takes its toll on both defender and attacker. The defender pays a price because of the cost, financial and casualties, of retaliation, and the attacker pays a price because of the punishment received. Therefore, the payoff for the defender is -2, and the payoff for the attacker is -1. The defender pays twice, once for being a victim, plus the cost of counterattacking the attacker. The attacker's gain is reversed because of the punishment received via the counterattack. Does this payoff matrix have a single Nash equilibrium? Once again, the casino diplomacy strategy pair is optimal because it contains 0-0, which is simultaneously the best that defender and attacker can do in this case. Any deviation from this strategy pair reduces the payoff for one or both competitors. Therefore, retaliation is also a solution to the conundrum. Western societies prefer the casino over the fortress. Democracies prefer diplomacy over war. Hence, the casino diplomacy solution to the conundrum posed here is the desirable outcome of this game. There are actually two solutions, one that rewards diplomacy and the other that punishes terrorism. Generally, the casino will opt for rewarding diplomacy, while the fortress will opt for punishing terrorism. Note 1. In a two-person game, a Nash equilibrium exists if one player cannot benefit by changing strategy while the other player keeps his or her strategy unchanged. In other words, Nash equilibrium is a form of win-win for both players. Note 2. Risk is defined as the probability of a disastrous event times the damage that such an event would cause. Vulnerability is the probability of a disastrous event, so risk is vulnerability times damage cost. Note 3. Equilibrium points in N-Person Games, 1950. Proceedings of NAS. The subject of the movie, A Beautiful Mind, John Nash, born 1928, won the 1994 Nobel Prize in the Economic Sciences with John Harsanyi and Reinhard Selten. Quote, for their pioneering analysis of equilibria in the theory of non-cooperative games, close quote.